This is the fourth episode on operations management. On this episode, we'll look at how businesses use developments in technology to improve the efficiency and effectiveness of operations. All businesses must constantly improve. Strategies that are used by operations managers to improve the efficiency and effectiveness of operations may include technological developments, materials management, the management of quality, and waste minimization. In this episode, we're looking at technological developments. So, what do you think about when you think of technological developments? If you're visualizing Ford Motor Company's assembly line for car production, that's a really good place to begin. So, this is a classic example of a business that's focused on market share. Henry Ford said that everybody should be able to afford to own a car. Ford revolutionized manufacturing in order to achieve that aim. He drastically reduced the cost of production, which meant he could sell his cars much more cheaply than anyone had ever imagined would be possible. This brought the luxury, convenience, and freedom of car ownership to the masses. Cars were able to be produced more quickly, and that higher productivity meant more profit. Some of this profit was returned to workers through higher wages. At Ford, higher wages meant workers were able to purchase one of the cars they'd helped create. This was really unusual for the time. So let's look at how Ford was able to do this in operational terms. First, as always, we'll look at inputs, starting with material inputs. Henry Ford is famously quoted as saying that customers could have a car in any color as long as it's black. This is an example of the way that Ford was able to standardize parts. Businesses can improve their operations by decreasing their inventory of material inputs. They might do this by reducing the number and complexity of component parts. Wherever possible, they'll share component parts across multiple products, and this reduces the amount of inventory that the company needs to hold and therefore reduces the cost of inputs. Henry Ford invested a lot of money in capital equipment. The factory and the equipment needed to run the production line would have required a lot of time and money to set up. It was worth it because there was a market for the increased volume of cars that he was able to produce. So automating processes only really suits a business if there's a high volume of standard products that are suitable for automation. Ford lowered costs by exchanging skilled tradesmen for low-skilled workers who were taught to perform a few simple steps and did these repeatedly. They didn't need to understand the process, so they didn't need to hold a trade qualification. Businesses can improve operations by reducing the number of people needed to perform processes and by ensuring the skill set of its workers fits the company's needs. If employees are too highly skilled, then labor costs will be high. But if they don't have the skills that are needed, or if their skills are not a good fit for the needs of the organization, then they won't be able to do their job. Ford was able to reduce the time taken to manufacture a car from more than 12 hours to 2 hours and 30 minutes. Companies can improve operations by reducing processing time. So let's summarize. Automating operations improves the efficiency of a business's processing. It's costly to set up, and best applied where production volumes are high and products are identical or similar. If a company chooses to automate the processes of its operations function, a possible consequence may be the downsizing of its workforce. This reduces the cost of inputs, but for workers who lose their job, this can be really difficult. We'll talk more about ethics in episode 8, but an ethical business would support workers through this transition. Automation of production revolutionized manufacturing and created a string of cheap and accessible mass-produced products. Automation technology continues to improve today. However, this technology is not accessible or appropriate to all businesses. Perhaps less well recognized, but equally as important, is the innovation in office technology. Imagine working in an office in the 1960s or early 1970s. Managers, mostly male, sat in glass or walled offices, the size of the office, the size of the desk, the size of the chair that they sat in, identified the superiority of the manager. They worked mostly with pen and paper. Technology in their office might have been a telephone on the desk. Large businesses would have had their own internal switchboard for transferring calls around the building. Other technology might have been a machine for dictation. The secretary, mostly female, sat outside the manager's office. On her desk would have been a typewriter for transcribing dictation or for typing up handwritten memos and reports. Pocket-sized calculators were released in the early 1970s, but before this, businesses may have had tabulation machines to perform complex or repetitive calculations. In a 1960s and 70s office, there was a lot of paper. There was no way to hold information electronically, so all information was recorded on paper, and sometimes that was held in duplicate or triplicate. Around the walls of the office would have been filing cabinets to store all of this paper documentation. Direct international dialing of telephone calls became possible in 1976. Before this, you'd have to have a long-distance call put through by the operator. Even after this date, routine communication over long distances was often not done by telephone. It was often done via a telex machine. It was quite quick, but certainly not instantaneous like an email, and you could only send text. No images, no photographs, and even the formatting could be different when the text arrived at the other end. Telex machines started to fade out when facsimile machines were introduced in the late 1980s. Fax machines could send graphic images via telephone lines, but they actually weren't that easy to send. Often the phone number was wrong and someone would pick up and answer the telephone on the other end, which meant that you got their voice line and not their fax line. And there was no real way of knowing whether your fax got through at the other end or what it looked like when it came out the other end. And if you had to send a 30-page fax, often the lines would cut out partway through, so you might send 3 pages and then the other 27 pages hadn't gone through, so then you'd have to call again and try and send more pages. It was often very time consuming. It would be a task that would be done by someone who was low skilled in the organisation. It would be their job to send faxes. Large companies in the 1970s would have had a computer, maybe several computers. These early computers performed complex calculations within specialist computer departments. Computer use for word processing didn't begin until the 1980s. So why am I telling you this? Well, just imagine for a minute working in an office where everything was written down and then filed, where you had no access to a computer or a smartphone or even a calculator, no internet, no email, no GPS, no EFT or FPOS. Businesses were very, very different. Compare this with today's office. Now it would be rare to find a business that doesn't have email and internet access. Offices strive to be paperless, files are stored electronically, computers and mobile phones are commonplace, and desktop computers are increasingly replaced by portable devices. EFT and FPOS machines enable processing of payment electronically, even from mobile devices. Unlike offices of the past, where offices were very formal and the size of the office indicated the importance of the manager, many businesses today encourage hot desking. And in this way, the company is able to reduce the office space that it needs, so that reduces the cost of its capital equipment. So I think it's really important to recognise the improvements in office technology over the last 50 years, because they've been really dramatic, and I think they've revolutionised the way we conduct our operations, and they certainly enable businesses to operate much more efficiently and effectively. Next, we're going to look at customer relationship management. That's sometimes referred to as CRM. CRM refers to systems that businesses use to store information about their customers. My oven broke down recently and I called an oven repair company to fix it. When I called, A recorded message prompted me to have the serial and model number of the oven ready. When I spoke to a service representative, I gave these details and she instantly knew my name, my address, my oven details, and details of the work that I'd had previously done on this oven. She asked what the problem was and whether I wanted the same repairman as last time. The fact that she had all these details made things so much easier for me, and it gave me the confidence that the repair work would be handled efficiently. This is an example of the way CRM software can be used in a service business to give an improved outcome to the customer. CRM software is often used in larger companies so that customers who deal with different functions of the business get a seamless experience. Other technological developments are website development, computer-aided design, or CAD, computer-aided manufacturing, CAM, and computer-integrated manufacturing, CIM. The ease and affordability of website development has meant that many small businesses have very professional-looking websites. Websites offer evidence of a business's legitimacy and enable customers to research and order products without the need for person-to-person contact. Computer-aided design, or CAD, is a design tool that enables businesses to create design models, then identify materials required to produce the design. If you'd like to look at a great example of CAD, go onto YouTube and have a look at the Ford Virtual Reality Immersion Lab. Ford are using virtual reality to enable their designers to visualize the end product without the need to create a real-life model of the design. In this way, they're able to finesse the design before they get to that modeling stage. Computer-aided manufacturing, which is CAM, occurs at any time a computer is in control of the manufacturing process to achieve the design. So 3D printing is an example of CAM, and there's many others, but again, it's best to have a look on YouTube for some examples. Computer integrated manufacturing is CIM, and this integrates CAD, computer aided design, and CAM, computer aided manufacturing, to control the entire design and manufacturing process, including the ordering of parts. But YouTube really is a great tool for looking at CAD, CAM, and CIM. That marks the end of this episode. We've looked at technological developments, which is the first strategy that operations managers use to improve the efficiency and effectiveness of operations. That encompasses automated production lines, office technology, customer relationship management, website development, and CAD, CAM, and CIM. In the next episode, we'll be discussing materials management, which is the second strategy that operations managers use to improve their operations.